him for, you see. He's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much. Thank you for it. Isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning? Certainly an opportunity God has given us once again to come worship Him in spirit and in truth. We had a great time here last night, didn't we? How many of you appreciate the word of the Lord? Just gets better all the time, don't it? Amen. It certainly does. So glad you're here this morning. Trust you've come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Why don't you take just a minute, turn around, greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege it is. Play a little bit more of that, brother, if you will. Bless you, buddy. Praise. You love Him with all your heart this morning. Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Brother Daniel, if you'll get ready to come this morning, lead us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Dal Orndorff, he asked that the saints would remember Sister Donna in prayer in the morning as she has to go and have some more tests run, so we just want to commit her to the Lord. Also, Brother Dal hurt his back. Want to remember him in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of him. Sister Sherry Hayton says to please pray for Brother Bobby. He is home with severe congestion and coughing, so we want to remember Brother Bobby Hayton in prayer this morning. Brother Carter Lawson wants us to remember a pet of his that's very sick. We just commit that unto the Lord. Simone Phillips says, Paul's mother suffers with high blood pressure. She's seriously affected her health. Please pray for deliverance for her. Also, a dear friend, a dear godly family friend, Mike Eplin, was diagnosed with cancer. He is a firm believer in the power of prayer. So we want to remember that prayer request this morning as we pray. Then here's a prayer request that says to remember Tim in the nursing home, suffering from dementia, also infection, needs salvation. Lily wants to praise the Lord for touching her after prayer. And Edith, a 93-year-old, has health issues. So we want to remember that prayer request this morning as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have needs today, we know we're serving a prayer-answering God, don't we? Do you believe it with all your heart that He's more than able to meet whatever you have need of? We've got testimony after testimony sitting right here today of the healing power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliverance power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't He the greatest thing that ever got a hold of you? You love Him with all your heart. Let's stand this morning. Brother Daniel, God bless you as you lead us to the Lord in prayer. We appreciate this guy right here too, don't we? Amen, buddy. God bless you, Brother Daniel.
Amen. God's good to us, isn't He? Amen. Brother Donnie was preaching last night, and he was talking about the women making a cake and maybe forgetting the recipe altogether and praying God give them an answer for the request. And everything would turn out okay. I remember about 35 years ago, I was working on my house, and I was putting in one of those stairways, a circle stairway. And I couldn't figure it out. I mean, I had the plans, but according to the plans, I couldn't see how it was going to work. And I went to bed that night, and it was on my mind. I was kind of praying about it. I had a dream. The next day, I got up, went to work. I did just like the dream showed me, and the stairway was perfect. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He's a good God. Amen. Let's pray over these requests. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for this opportunity to be in this service again today. I want to thank You for letting us live on this side of Calvary, knowing, God, that we could be lost and undone, we could be in a grave, but God, through Your mercies, You look down upon us and kept us until this day and until this hour. God, thank You for the revelation that's been going forth from this pulpit. Thank You for our pastor, Brother Donnie. Thank You for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank You because we know that Your Spirit is alive. Heavenly Father, we bring our petitions and our requests before Your throne today. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that You'll move for each one of them. God, we pray for those over the internet, those in other countries, wherever they may be, God, I pray that Your hand will go forth, that You'll heal and save and deliver. God, move in this service today. May Your Spirit take complete control, bless every part of it, bless every song that's sung. We'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray the service would be a great blessing to all of those folks as well. We want to welcome some folks from Locust Grove, Georgia, visiting with us today. Shane and Jada Minko, I hope I got those names right. Would you just raise your hand right back here? Give those folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Certainly hope you enjoy the service. We're just here for a little while today. Let's make the most of it. You want to? Let's just really enjoy this little time that God has given us to be together. We won't get to see each other again until Wednesday night unless the rapture happens. But let's make the best of this little time that we have together right now, okay? Let's sing a song. I know this. You all get down. We all get down. I get down. We all get discouraged. We all feel bad. We all get sick. We all get in debt. But I'm so glad of one thing. He's the lifter up of our head this morning. Are you glad about that? Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter.
There be increased the trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. I lay me down, I slept. When I awakened, it was the precious, precious Holy Ghost that sustained me. Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory, You are the lifter of my head. Yes, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons. Every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round about. For I know I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons. Every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round about.
Yeah. Say praise the Lord. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Somebody say that's the sweetest name that'll ever be spoken. That's the dearest name that we'll ever adore. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning as you're seated. God bless you. Sister Swanson, wherever you're at, if you'd come give us a song this morning. Also, Brother Aaron, Sister Lindsay, if they'll come onto the platform, get ready to give us a song. Give our singers a nice hand this morning as they get ready to sing. Thank you so much for your participation. I really appreciate it when you help out. God bless you.
Are you standing at a crossroads, wondering which road you should take, and you're dreading the decision and a possible mistake? But the will of God won't lead you where the grace of God can't keep you. You will never be out of His care. Oh, remember that the Lord's already there. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find that He's never too far from wherever you are. You are waiting to hear thunder and see lightning in the sky. Oh, but God can work His wonders through a still small voice inside. Just keep listening and learning and continue on the journey, following the one who is the way. Oh, He's the only road you need to take. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, God is right there beside you, seeing and knowing. Wherever you go, He already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find that he's never too far from wherever you are. Wherever you go, he already knows what lies ahead and what's behind. You'll always find that he's never too far from wherever you are. You'll always find that he's never too far from wherever you are.
You can call me crazy. You can say I'm a fool. I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes it seems so cruel. Oh, but I remember where I came from and what you put me through. And I'm saying it's over. Oh, devil, I'm saying we're through. You've had the chance to make something out of my life, and you turn me to shambles. You made a wreck out of me, but now I'm giving to time of my life, and I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through. Oh, now you may be feeling so sad and blue. Oh, and you may not be knowing just exactly what to do. Oh, but won't you turn to my Jesus? He will make you brand new. Oh, when you tell him it's over. Now I'm giving to Jesus the time of my life, and I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through. Oh, you know this morning, sing it with us. Oh, you've had your chance to make something out of my life, and you turned me to shambles. You made a wreck out of me. But now I'm giving to Jesus the time of my life. And I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through. Now I'm giving to Jesus the time of my life. You believe that this morning? Oh, and I'm saying it's over. Devil, I'm saying we're through.
The Lord for that. Amen.
Yes, sir.
That old marriage is finished. And we got married to the new anointed word for the hour. After we were born again, of course. And may I add to that, virgin born. I know some of y'all looked at me really funny last weekend when I said that, and you looked at me funny again last night. But that's exactly what happened to you. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth again. The time of singing of the birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And what you notice, she can't come away until she first arises. So there has to be a resurrection. Arise, my love, my fair one. And he's not, this is not the general resurrection. It is the resurrection for his love, his fair one. I'm glad we're part of that today. Let's pray together over the word, shall we? Lord Jesus, thank you for your kindness to us today, Lord. We love you so very much. Thank you for being our bright morning star, the lily of our valleys, the encouragement to our hearts when we go through difficult times, our healer, our provider, our savior, our king, our redeemer, and yet the lover of our souls. Dear God, I pray today that once again we would be enraptured in your divine presence. May we be caught up into a heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Though our bodies will remain here in this tabernacle, this place, may our souls be elevated into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, your prophet has told us that means so much nowadays, church, to see ourselves positionally placed in Christ Jesus. Speak to us today, Father, as only you can do. When the service is ended, Lord, we will be as those who came with you on the way to Emmaus and say, did not our hearts burn within us as he spoke to us along the way? Grant it, Father, we ask in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's turn to chapter 4, verse 16, if you would. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. She calls him hers, my beloved, she says. When we are sure that he is ours, then we certainly don't care to share it. When you are uncertain and you're still trying to identify yourself, but once it's revealed to you that you are his and he is yours. Now the bride finally moves into this place of divine revelation. The talking of Solomon has achieved its ultimate goal of being able to convince her the words that he has said are true. They are centered toward her. This is not something he's trying to play on her emotions. It's not something he's trying to take from her. It's something he wants to give her. And when this strikes her, then she calls herself his garden. She's now arrived at the spot to where that she believes what he has been saying. And she can now therefore identify herself as his garden. As we said last night, true believers are no longer their own. We do not belong to ourselves. You don't belong to your mama, your daddy, your wife, your children, denomination. We belong to him. That's right. Why? Because we are bought with a price. And Christ Jesus paid that price for us. Now, she makes the invitation. Let my beloved come into his garden. She is now expressing her longing for him to enter into this intimate place of fellowship. She's heard his beckoning call as he himself has desired and waited for her divine response. You say divine from her? Absolutely. This is not just a mere mortal repeating divine words, but the connection has now been made from a divine deposit in the soul. It is now divinity connecting with divinity. And she is now beckoning her king, her Lord, to come into his garden. She expresses her longing for him. Oh my, I hope we feel that way about him. Her garden actually refers, his garden, she calls it, to the garden which was kept for him alone. Now, she is not a public garden that can be visited by whosoever will. She is not a garden that any person can have access to. But she is a secluded, private, sanctified garden. Garden. You see, the most part of Christianity of this day is a public garden. Any demon has access to pretty much any Christian on the face of the earth. Lust is perfectly comfortable in the garden of their hearts. Fornication, come on now. Pornography, drug addiction, tobacco addiction, alcohol addiction, all kinds of things are filling up so-called Christian people's lives, and their heart is a public garden to any demon that Satan has, but not the bride of Christ. Now, the shift from her calling it my garden to his garden is very significant in her understanding her position. Because formerly, as she refers to herself in chapter 2, she calls it her garden. But now she is not calling it just her garden alone, but she identifies it as his garden. That's amazing how one word can have such a significance of submission and possession. But truly, that's what God wants for us. The only reason every one of us sitting here today aren't any closer to God in reality is because we don't want to be. We have too many things going on in our life, and we put this one and that one and the other one in front of us and the Lord. Come on, Happy Valley. That's the only reason, including the pastor and every preacher and everybody else that's here, is because of things in our life that we put in front of the Lord Jesus. And it comes to what? Submitting and possession. Of him possessing everything about us. And we're so afraid that he's going to make such demands of our life and of our time. Oh, I can't give that up. I can't give that up. I can't give that up. And many times he's not going to ask us to give up many things, but he only wants us to be willing to in case he would ask us to. He knew that he would never require Abraham to take Isaac's life. But he also knew that Abraham didn't know that. So what he wanted, he didn't want Isaac, he wanted Abraham. But Abraham, apparently there was a little something there that Isaac had a little hold on Abraham's infinite love, and it was something that actually hindered him. Are you hearing me? And God wanted him to be brought to that place. God knew all along he wasn't going to take it. And you're so afraid God's going to take this from you and that from you and that from you. And this is why many times you're not willing to say, Lord, I'll give all. I'll give everything. Oh, whatever you want, God, I'll do it. And we don't say it because in reality, we're afraid he may want this. Well, what if he wants your wife? What if he wants your husband? What if he wants a child? So we what? By negligence, we hold it back. But many times he's not going to take those things. He only wants you and I to be willing to say, Lord, whatever's in my way. Whatever's in my way. And God said, that's all I wanted you to say anyhow. I'm not going to take your home. I'm not going to take your car. I'm not going to take your job. I just wanted to hear you say that and knew that you meant it with all your heart. Now, she indicates that she belongs to him. So it is that submission and possession have a great link, and they tie together. And it's the same way with the Spirit of God in our lives. That God wants to have everything that we are, at least have it at his disposal if he so wishes it or desires it. By doing that, then, it comes by total submission on our part of us being willing to say, Lord, whatever it is, anything in my way, Lord, if it's my house, my car, whatever it be, Lord, I'm willing to give it to you. Lord, but if all I can do is rearrange my priorities, then, you know, if that's what you want, I'll do that. Whatever you want me to do, I am totally yours. I belong to you. Notice now in the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 2, my beloved is gone down into his garden. Now, this is after the marriage night now. My beloved is gone down into his garden to the beds of spices to feed in the gardens to gather lilies. Now, the church here is represented again as Christ's garden into which he himself. Notice how she says it, that he's gone down. She is now identifying the act of condescension in her Lord, that he has now come down. Oh, friends, if we could only realize that every time we come to the house of God, it is an act of condescension of our Lord. Him living inside of us today is a continual act of condescension. And she has now embraced this, that it is not him. He is not him that is the, oh my, the humble one, the peasant. It is her that is the peasant. It is her that does not deserve this. And yet it is him that is constantly doing the condescending. It is the same way with us. Every time he hears us pray, it is an act of condescension. Every time he hears our poor, feeble, hillbilly ways of praising him, and he loves it to the highest heavens, and yet it is an act of condescension. Every time he will meet here with us and send his presence when we sing, and we may be an octave off or a half a step off, And we may miss a key or miss a chord, and yet he doesn't sense, hey, y'all miss a chord. I can't receive that. Some of you wasn't in harmony. Some of you was flat. Some of you were sharp, and you, I can't receive that. I'm Almighty God. But every time he receives our poor singing, it is an act of condescension. Whenever we raise our feeble hands and he accepts our worship, it is an act of condescension. What is it she's saying? He comes down to me. Every day of my life, he comes down to me. Oh my, he has gone down into his garden. The spouse is now, of course, in union with her husband. Notice she said, my beloved has gone down into his garden to the beds of spices to feed in the gardens and to gather. Notice what he's doing in the gardens. He's not just looking. He's not just one that's coming by as being a fruit inspector. He is eating of the productivity of the garden. It is not her labors. It is not what I prayed all night. I'll tell you one thing. I've done this for God and I fasted for God. It is what he has done in your life that he eats of. Your ability to forgive, that's not in us to do that. Your ability to, oh my, to pray for those that hate you. And you say, well, I've done this and I've done that. God don't feed on that. God's not going to feed on the vanity of our achievements of our flesh. Or say, I'm a gifted songwriter. I'm a good preacher. God don't feed on that. God feeds on what he gives you. That's the fruit, the productivity of your garden life is what he gives you. Then he comes and feeds on his own reward. Oh, Lord Jesus. To feed, to refresh, to delight himself. Can you imagine him loving to come into your garden heart? And he takes forgiveness, and he takes harmony, and he takes fellowship, and he takes righteousness, and he takes kindness, and he takes purity, and he takes all these things that he's done in your life, and that's what he feeds on in you as a believer. Oh, you say, well, I thought it's because I'm such a pretty singer. Guess again, pretty singer. Well, I thought it's just because I'm such a good preacher. It ain't got nothing to do with you being a good preacher or a bad one. It has to do with what he's produced in your life. He feeds on those things. You understand, friend? Oh, if we could only comprehend it, it would pull you away from the understanding. Well, what can I give God? I'm not a preacher. I don't sing. I don't prophesy. But look at what he's done in your life. Give him the fruit of the new birth. Give him the fruit of sanctification. The fruit of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The fruit of overcoming. That's what he wants to eat on. Oh my. I want you to notice what she says about him. She says, he's coming to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. So he comes and crops them and gathers the lilies. Of course, you don't eat lilies. Lilies are used for decoration. They're an odd flower, very odd. There's the Asiatic, of course, there's many different types of lilies. But they are very odd in the way they're made, their shape, their color, depending on what part of the world they come from. But she noticed about the lilies. Now, we realize that saints are compared to lilies. It's amazing to me that he can take a thorn of a human being and transform that thorn into a lily of a Christian. Then he comes and gathers with us while we are yet in mortal bodies, and he has fellowship with us. And when the existence of our life is over, he gathers those lilies up into paradise. We not only fellowship with him here in communion now, but thank God there's another place. Notice in verse 3, she says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. If you'll notice in the way that she does not make this plural, we are our beloveds and we are his and he is ours. But I, here's the personal revelation of Christ, the mystery being revealed in you as an individual. I am my, well, me and Brother Donnie and me and my wife and husband. No, you as an individual. You're going to take your own personal body change, and the way you're going to take it is by your own personal experience with God.
and your own personal revelation. Young people who come to this church, don't just come here and nod your head and do it because mom and daddy believes it. If you don't have a revelation of God sending a prophet, young people, ask God to give it to you. If you don't have a revelation of serpent seed, water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, and all of these great truths that we hold on to, don't you leave. Don't you leave this world until God gives you that revelation yourself. That is the way you're going to take the rapture, is you as an individual. He is mine and I am his without question. Oh, hallelujah. Without question, I am his. Oh, Lord Jesus. I am my beloved's. And literally the way this is translated in the Hebrew is, I am for my beloved, which is the reverse of chapter 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine and I am his. Now she says it the very opposite. She's growing up. Praise God. She now grounds her convictions in his love toward her and not her love toward him. Now, when she first started going with him and first started understanding him, it was based upon her own choice. She's a good free will Baptist when she first started out. But as she grows on, she really becomes converted and realizes she had nothing to do with it. Glory to God. My, notice her. Chapter 4, verse 16 again. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden. Glory to God. While he is here, she identifies that she is his. All she has is his, for his pleasure. Praise God. She hardly dared to call this garden his initially. She identified it as hers, as if though she was going to give him something. But now she's backed off from her thinking she accomplished some great something. Notice this in Philemon chapter 1, verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You say, Brother Donnie, why is it important that we would say what's good in us? Notice and capture the setting of this powerful scripture that Paul is writing here in this book of Philemon, very small but very powerful book, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual, and this is the way it will become effectual, or on fire. The communication of your faith will become so on fire by you acknowledging every good thing that is in you, which come from Jesus Christ. There is a releasing of deity inside the human heart when the human can, by spiritual understanding, reality now, talking about looking and seeing what God has done. I am saved. I am healed. I am delivered. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. What does that do? That releases the communication of your faith and makes your faith more effectual. Oh, praise God. And it will not come just by praying. Friends, it will not come just by listening to tapes. There is one way this will work, and that is by you acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Oh my. Can't you hear it? Here it comes. It's now blowing to the garden. The north wind comes. The thermal rises over the wall and sweeps down on the other side of the garden wall. And as it does, it creates this loop. And it comes down and settles that the barometric pressure will allow it to go down. And what it does, it hits that side of the garden and it begins to blow. It takes all these fragrant flowers and trees that are now in the cycle of harvest and begins to carry their aroma. But in the middle of the garden, now the wind shifts and it's now coming from the south. It turns and it comes from the south, and as it does, it brings another fragrance, another smell, another fragrance, another smell, a flower, a plant, a tree. And they are converging in the middle of the garden as here he now stands. He stands in the midst of his beloved. He is overwhelmed by the beckoning of her words. It is her, not him, that has called for the north wind. It was not angels. It was not Moses. It was not Elijah. It was the bride that had now, by the acknowledging of every good thing in her, she is now beckoning the Holy Ghost, give to my Lord Jesus that which he delights in. Oh, glory to God. Here he stands. Oh, my love, my dove, my fair one, my undefiled. There are so many wives and so many concubines, but my beloved is one. She is the only one of her mother. He admires her beauty. He commends her fragrances. He engulfs his supernatural senses in the realm by which only she can produce. You see, angels cannot do this. They are not the work of redemption of the Lamb of God. They do not understand grace. They can't sing Amazing Grace because they don't understand nothing about it. Notice she says, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now we paralleled this last week, but let's read it again in Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now look there, we are running a parallel in this day of how the bride is taking the fruit given to her, not from the serpent, not from the devil, but giving to her from her creator. She is now giving to her husband, and he is eating with her. But as Eve partook of the acknowledging of the fruit first, and then she gave unto her husband. Oh, bride, can't you see your position? How you must come to that place of acknowledgement that you realize you are not of this world. You are not a blind Laodicean. You always were a seed of God. You was the seed of God before there was any devil, before there was any time, before there was any sickness. And when you partake of that fruit of the tree of life, you can in turn give that revelation back to your husband, Christ the Word, and you partake of that fruit together. Notice in Luke chapter 22 verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Amen. Fellowshipping with loving disciples is his favorite joy.
Hallelujah.
As I said to you last night in modern terms so you can understand it, Jesus loves to hang out with you. You understand one of his favorite places to hang out, don't you? You know where it is? His house. Woo! I was down this morning in the basement before daylight thinking about the service today, and the Lord dropped that in my heart. One of his favorite places to hang out with these people is his house. You know how it is. You got friends and buddies. He said, why don't you come over to my house? And then next Sunday, you'll go over to their house. Well, that's why a lot of folks don't get to hang out with Jesus. They don't show up at his house often enough. Oh, glory to God. I love to hang out with my Lord as say. That's why I know if I come to the house of God, I'll always meet him there. It's one of his favorite places. Christ's pleasant fruits. You young people, when you get together and you hang out at one of your buddies' house and you show your new apps and you're showing your new phone and you're this and that and the other, talking about whatever you talk about, what is it? You've got something in common. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus being entertained by us? He don't want to hear the price of gold. He ain't interested in the price of platinum and rhodium and the price of honey buns and Sprite. And he ain't interested in none of that. He's interested in how you do it. How's your walk? How's your health? How's your family? How's your peace? How's your satisfaction? How's your revelation? Oh my. Notice Brother Branham says, I wonder if that isn't the case today, if we're not too busy with our profession and other things, and we fail to entertain him. Oh my, when I see him come in, and he left his work to come to his, there where he was invited. And that's the way he gets entertained. Lord God, children. That's the way he gets entertained, is that way of your house. Is it that way of your house? Is it that way in your church? Is it that way in your life? You pray, Lord Jesus, come. And when he comes, you don't pay any attention to him. Is that the way you're treating my Lord? If it is, shame on you. We have other things that we think are too more important, my brother, my sister. The most important thing in your life is to entertain Jesus Christ. As I said last time, some of you like golf, you like hunting, you like fishing, your sister like cooking, and you like this and that and the other. What is it? It's a form of entertainment. You like music, or you like sitting down watching some video of National Geographic or something other. And what is it? It's a form of entertainment. Jesus don't like the National Geographic channel. He don't have Netflix. Jesus don't have cable. Jesus don't watch videos. He watches live people. Oh, hallelujah. He don't watch reruns. He don't watch something. Oh, glory to God. What does he want? He wants to be entertained by you and I. I believe that the most important thing in my life is to entertain Jesus Christ properly. In first place in your worship. First place in your life. First place in everything. Jesus Christ deserves that place. And I believe it with all my heart. But if you don't, now listen to this. If you don't, he'll take second. He'll take second place. He'll go down in the basement with you. If you're ashamed of him when you're out among people, then you go down in the basement so nobody will see you. He'll still come. So he said, now Jesus, there ain't no room in the living room for you. There ain't no room in the kitchen. No room in the bedroom. No room in the music room, because we're going to listen to what we want to listen to around here. And there ain't no room for you where we watch videos, because we're going to watch some sometimes that's going to be nasty and filthy. So there ain't no room for you being in there, because you'd simply embarrass us and tell us we shouldn't watch it. And I ain't got no room for you when I go to work, because you might get on me and you might embarrass me. I might go to crying or something like that. You can't trust you. I don't know what you'd ever do. But if you're determined to hang around, I'll fix you up a spot in the basement. I want to warn you before you go down, it's damp. Don't smell good. It's musty. Well, that's around a dehumidifier down there from time to time. But if you're determined to stay, this is the only place in this house that you can stay. So you take Jesus down. You go down your steps. And you open your basement door. And you say, there it is. Call me if you need anything. There's a chair down there and a lamp. There's an old cot down there. Dog might have been on it before, the cat, I don't know for sure. You're welcome to it. What'd you do him that way?
Think about it.
Some of you young people put him in the basement of your heart. Some of you older people put him in the basement of your life and your walk and your business. And he loves to be around people so much. I wonder how many message basements he lives in. How many message church basements does he live in? Because if anybody wants to go to shouting, they'll put you out real quick. Anybody go talking in tongues or some kind of supernatural something, boy, they don't want that. So what do? They put Jesus in the basement of their church. Because we're educated message people. We don't want no move of God. Well, let me tell you something. I want a move of God. This is the way I feel about it. If anybody deserves the basement, it's me. If anybody deserves the basement, it's you. My Lord Jesus don't deserve the basement. Brother Bram says you go down in the basement so nobody will see you. And he'll still come. And he said that ought to make you love him above everything in the world. Jesus in second place. Jesus in fourth place. Jesus in tenth place. But he still comes. You invite him. You say, why does he go to these churches that don't believe the truth? Because they invite him. They'll make him a second person. They'll make him weak and puny and powerless. They don't want nothing out of him except for a savior. Many of them don't believe in healing no more. So they certainly not. He's not welcome in that avenue of their life. They don't believe that he can fix this and do this and do that. So what will he do? Jesus will show up and he'll do what little bit they'll let him do. Why? Because he loves people. Now to me, I can more understand it with them out yonder than I can with us. We have been illuminated to his presence, to his name, to his persona of what he is. Why would we ever give him second, third, fourth, tenth, or basement? Basement. And tell him, if you don't mind, there's a door in the basement. Come and go out that door. Because from time to time, we might have some going-ons up here that you might embarrass us. So use the basement door. Lord Jesus. Boy, you folks is quiet today. Notice this in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love. He must love the far out of y'all today. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore. And what? This is one of the best signs. God loves you. He whoops the far out of you. Notice him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now Jesus is referring to the custom which is common in the first century AD. When you would knock, unlike the way we do it here, you would wait till someone came to the door. But there it was their custom that when you knocked, almost instantaneously, you would give your name. This is Donnie Reagan. This is Amos Cutts. So Jesus is identifying himself and said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Now he's knocking. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. I'd like to come in if you've got any vacancy. You think you could make room in your busy, busy schedule of life where we could have breakfast together maybe? Or lunch? I would prefer supper, but I'll take breakfast. I'll take the snack, and if you don't want to be seen with me in case some of your friends come, we could go out on the patio off of the basement. I'd just like to hang out with you a little bit.
Think about it.
If you'd let me. I know you're awful busy. I realize you've got so much going on. Right. And this is the eternal one who hangs the universe. And he's not too busy to take time for us. But he understands when we're so busy with our trivial little life. Do you understand how little you are? Do you understand how little of a mark you'll make in this life, in your existence? Come on, friends, don't make more out of yourself than what you are. You're nothing but a puff of wind. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow, a speck of dust. If it's not for God's grace on our lives, we're nothing. But we act like we are so important. He says, if any man will hear my voice and open the door. Now look at him. This is the Almighty God. He has all power in heavens and earth. All he'd have to do is speak and that door, bam, put his shoulder against it and crash it. But that's not what he wants. He wants you to open the door. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and we'll sup with him. And the word sup means supper. He wants to have supper with you. Now, many people think if they have lunch with Jesus, it's good enough. He didn't ask for lunch. He wanted supper. What if I have brunch? He don't believe in brunch. Praise the Lord. But what if I just have a, you know, me and Jesus go through the drive-thru? That's not what he asked for. Why? Supper was the main meal. He wants supper with you. Now I know some of you redneck Arkansans and some of you redneck Tennesseans, you think you've got so fancy now, you call it dinner. They didn't have the Lord's dinner. They had the Lord's. Jesus didn't ask to have dinner, he wanted supper. Notice this, Brother Bram says, if any man will hear me and will open the door, I'll come in and sup with him. Sup here means to commune or fellowship. Jesus wants fellowship. That's what God's heart longs for tonight. You gotta be kidding me. The eternal, the almighty would long for something based upon the contingency of human frailty? Why would he subject himself to want something that is based on us? Friends, are we sure we understand the value of our fellowship to him? Our love, our attention. This is one of the most risky things he has ever done. Subject himself to our whims. He needs nothing from no one. Yet, he subjected this deepest, greatest longing to our schedule. Lord God, forgive us, Lord Jesus. That's what God's heart longs for tonight. He longs for it in Dallas and in every place in the world He longs to get in and have fellowship in his people. Come in to commune and look what he wants to do. Bring you something good. But the church and the people keeps him away. What if Donald Trump come to your house this week? You might not even like the man as a president, but you'd still be honored that he come to your house. What if he walked by a fishing rod that some of your brothers just bought and it was your favorite? Or a golf club. I understand he plays golf. That was really special to you. Your grandfather gave it to you. Your father, you don't use it much, but it's a keepsake. Mr. Trump looked at them and said, I'd love to have that. Will you let me have that? He said, absolutely. Yes, sir. But Jesus don't come asking you. He comes bringing. Mercy and love and healing and forgiveness. He wants to mend your broken marriage. He wants to heal your broken home. He wants to help in your finances. He wants to restore your peace. If he could ever just get us to slow down long enough to be able to bring us these things. Kind of go on a bit. Supper with the ancient people in the ancient times. I found this. I wanted to read it to you this morning. Was the principal social meal. It was here the main meal of the day that they would spend the most time. For breakfast, it might be a hurried occasion. Going to school, going to work, whatever more. Lunch, grab a fast something. But supper. Supper. So you come in, you sit down, you washed, you changed your clothes. Supper was an intimate time of relaxation. It's very, very sad to me that too many people don't sit down and eat together anymore. Your kids, you let them go this way and that way and that way, and the husband's over here and the wife's over there. Why? You got so much money on your mind. Making filthy lucre, why? So the devil and the Pope can wind up with it all anyway. May God forgive us for not taking that time to sit together, down together as a family and eat. And say, what have y'all been doing today? How's your day been going? And said, we're here and there. Come on, church, don't get quiet on me. Oh, how Jesus, he has the table spread. My, he spread the delicacies of his word in the evening time. The table is graced with the seven seals and the seven thunders and the kinsman redeemer. Oh, the table has so many great delicacies that Luther, oh my goodness, if Peter had these truths that we've got, they'd have kept him in jail. My goodness, Paul, with all the great things that he had, it was wonderful. Yet there are things that have been preached in this day that Paul was not allowed to see or understand. And God has spread the table and you have to beg people to come and eat. Some of you belong to club memberships where you go and have exercise and whatever more. And I'm not against that. You'll hire a personal trainer and you'll pay so much a month to be able to lift this and do this and that and the other. To work on this physique of yours. And you have the opportunity of attending a church where you have a God-called man. And God call men that are there working on your soul. There is no monthly membership. There is no requirements in that sense. And sometimes we have to nearly beg people to come once a week, much less three times a week. And we're not trying to take your money. We're not trying to take your wives. We're not trying to take your children. We're trying to get you ready for a rapture. And it's as if those people are not interested anymore. What this must mean to him. For her to be able to say, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, and blow upon thy garden,
that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now, let's move from verse 16 to the very next verse, which is chapter 5, verse 1. Most historians say actually chapter 5, verse 1 should have been part of chapter 4, just the next verse. I am come into my garden. She beckoned. He responded immediately. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb. Notice now all of these things that he's eaten out of the garden, he claims as his own. Why? They are his. So much for your works. Notice what he says. I have come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh and my, oh glory to God, spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my, amen. Honey, I have drunk my wine with my milk. Why? He produced it in our lives. She gives herself to him. He accepts. He now takes her, walks into the paradise. And now he comes and testifies back and says, she is mine. All she is, I have made her thus. She is my attributes. The eternal wisdom and purpose of God is summed up in her. You see, a garden implies separation. A place of beauty. A place of rest. A place to resort. A garden is a place of growth. A place of life. A place of resurrection. A place of sowing seed and reaping the harvest. All this is who you are. This is who you are. You are a place of resurrection. You are a place that he sows his seed and he's fixing to reap his harvest. He says, I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb. You see, a garden is a reclaimed spot. A reclaimed spot. Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God got your side and did some reclamation on it. Separated you by distinguishing grace. Not just saving grace, distinguishing grace. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are hedged about with a garden wall for your protection. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Matthew 16, amen. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You are carefully cultivated. St. John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it,
that it may bring forth more fruit. You are designed for pleasure. You are designed for His intimacy and His fellowship. I wish somebody would preach with me this morning. Isaiah 62:4. Thou shalt be no more termed forsaken. Neither shall thy land anymore be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezbah, which means my delight is in her. You were desolate. You were forsaken. Your garden looked like a dump. But the king of Hezbah came and reclaimed you. He cleaned out all the landfill that was in you. He's still working on some of it, I grant you. But He's getting us all cleaned up. Amen. And He said you were forsaken, but now you're loved. You was in darkness, but now you are light. You grow garbage and filth and drugs and alcohol. Now you grow the Holy Ghost. Now you grow love. Now you grow mercy. You are not forsaken. Psalms 132:13, for the Lord hath chosen Zion, for He hath desired it for His habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. And you know Zion is the bride. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. And the church said, amen. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Can you imagine? You make God have a spell. Let me say it so you can understand it. Oh, hallelujah to God. Over you, God has joy. He will rest in His love. And He will joy over thee with singing. You give God a song in His heart. You are kept clean and orderly. St. John 15:3, now you are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Revelation 19:8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19:14, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You are separate from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And the saints said, hallelujah. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Unhindered communion and fellowship. Now He's entered into the bride chamber with her. Let's skip a few things here, Brother Daniel. Let's jump over to Hebrews 7:26. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. How could one like that want to spend time with me? You all folks know that I'm nobody. Never have been, never will be. But when I go out and preach, preachers from different places want to come spend time with me. People in the meetings want to come spend time with me. Y'all want to come spend time with me. And I think, why? I ain't got no personality. I'm not that great of a guy. I'm not a big talker. I'm very quiet. I think, why? Why do so many people want to spend time with me? This puzzles me.
Because we love you.
Well, thank you. But then magnify that mystery. And I look up this way. And I say, why would you want to spend time with me? You made the heavens and the earth. All I've made is chaos and trouble. You are life. I was born in darkness. You are so beautiful, so lovely, so wonderful. I'm so flawed. Why would you want to hang out with me? Some of these other great people that have lived down through the ages, I could understand why you'd want to spend time with them. Why do you want to spend time with me? Why? But he does. I hope it's no shock you. He loves hanging out with me. Believe it or not, the things you feed on is the buddy I hang out with. Glory to God. It's because of the relationship I have with him, and he hangs around me day and night. And he inspires me with this, and inspires me with that, and inspires me with that. You ought to be able to tell who I'm keeping company with. Well, God don't want that just to be so with the preacher. He wants it to be so with you. That people can tell who you've been hanging out with. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Can I go just a bit farther? Let's jump again, Brother Daniel, to the scripture in Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1 again. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, oh friends. Drink, yay! Drink abundantly, oh beloved. So now he's speaking to some people other than the bride. And he called them friends. Now these were people that were invited to the marriage. Friends. But a peculiar thing has happened. She invited him to come in. He come in the first part of this verse. Now he's addressing someone else. And watch how he says this. I am coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. Then the last part of the verse, he says, eat, oh friends, drink, yay, drink abundantly. Why? He has now left the bridal chamber. And he has in his hands the tokens of her virginity. The bridal sheet, or the bridal linen, as it was called. He now leaves the bride and he comes out to the banquet. And he says, rejoice! Rejoice! She was a virgin. Rejoice! She was a virgin. Never remember during this time frame, it was a custom by the law, actually. We know according to Leviticus 21:10. That Moses, talking about the high priest, that he is the high priest among his brother, among whom the head of the anointing oil was poured upon. He's consecrated to put on the garments. He shall not uncover his head, nor rend his clothes. Neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or for his mother. Now, he couldn't even go see his mother and father at their viewing. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary to profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing oil of his God is upon him. He shall take a wife in her virginity. Now, remember, this is the high priest. A widow or divorced woman or profane or harlot shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Now notice the command of God in Deuteronomy 22:13. If any man shall take a wife and go into her and hate her, and give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, when I came to her, I found her not a maid, which is a virgin, unmarried woman. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the token of the damsel's virginity. When the man went unto the woman, they saved the linen cloths, where the virgin veil was broken. It was laid up in the record-keeping department. Just in case the accuser come back and said she ain't right. Lord have mercy. Glory to God. Just in case he comes back and says, she ain't a virgin, she ain't bride, she ain't this and that. And the mother and father said, shut your mouth. Amen. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he has given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found her not the daughter of this woman. She's not pure. She's not genuine. And yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. There he shall spread the cloths before the elders of the city. And the elders of the city shall take that man and chastise him, and they shall immerse, which means fine, him 100 shekels of silver, and give him to the father of the damsel, because he has brought up an evil name. Let me tell you something, devil. 100 shekels of silver ain't nothing compared to what you're fixing to get. The devil has accused you. He has accused me. He's accused God's bride. And what will Father do? He will lay the tokens of our virginity, of our innocence, before our accuser and the elders and say, my daughter is a virgin. My daughter, glory to God, my daughter is pure. My daughter is holy. My daughter is mine. He is bringing a lie against her. Let me close with this. Seeds not air the shuck. Now it's seed time or bride time. The shucks are dead. The shucks are dried up. Virgin word time. Not touched. It's a virgin. Remember, virgin word time. If you put it in the hands of a denomination, it sure won't be virgin. It'll be manhandled. Time you get to it. But God's church is not touched by denomination. Hallelujah. It's a virgin born word of God. The church, not just Jesus, Mother Darrell. The church, the bride, is virgin born. And you know I'm not talking about your natural birth. Your spiritual birth. What did God do to produce a virgin birth? God created the egg and God created the life. And he brought them together. When you come to the earth, you have the egg as it was. The evening light brought the life over the egg. It produced in you a wife fitting to marry the virgin-born Son of God. Lord. Hallelujah. A virgin-born son needs a virgin-born woman. It's a virgin-born word of God made manifest. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. How wonderful. I love it. I believe it. I know it's the truth. It'll not be touched. There'll be no denominational man handling. in the virgin birth of the bride. God not only want denominational manhandling, He don't want your own manhandling. Well, I done this and I done that and I sought God and I made up my mind. Don't you see what you're trying to do? Get your hand out of it. God called you. God saves you. God ordains you. That's virgin birth. Brother Donnie, did I have something to do? Yep, just like Mary, be it unto me according to thy word. Let's stand together. There'll be no denominational manhandling in the virgin birth of the bride. No, sir. She is commanded by God to come out of such. Touch not their unclean things. Become vultures. Spoken words, raise your seat. Look like Mary. I want you to get this now. Don't fail. Are you ready? Amen. When Christ comes to His bride, she'll be a virgin like Mary was. For God will not bring Christ to the womb of a whore. Neither will He bring the bride. He can't bring his word to the whore of His word. That's horrible words, but that's what the Bible said. I'm saying what it says. Why? This has got to be understood. My friends, we are living in a time when it is being understood. Praise God. You're living in a time when this is being, Brother Ram didn't say it was being understood then, but he said it's got to be. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look, if you've got Jesus down the basement of your life, won't you open that door? Go down them steps with a repentant heart and attitude and ask Him to please forgive you. Bring Him up there and give Him the finest chair you've got. Give Him the prime place in your heart, your spirit, your soul, in your workplace. Rearrange your whole life around Him. Many of you long for it now. You hunger for it right now. Some of you are hungered and have been for years. And you let the devil tell you there's something wrong with you. He ain't bride. That ain't it. It's the Father trying to make this revelation known to you. But this is just not for Brother Branham. This is just not for preachers. This is for you as individuals. God wants you to feel this way about Him. Because this is the way He feels about you. This is your possession. Your inheritance. That you can be His garden. That He can come to you in the wee hours of the morning. When you're down, when you're weary, when things are good, whenever it is. And He just talks to you and loves you. And you love Him back. Y'all just sat around and hold hands, as it were. Love birds. That's what Karen calls me and Carol. Every time she sends us texts on her birthday or anniversary, she said, "Happy birthday, you love birds." It's my tradition, she said. I can't break it. I'm glad to be identified as a lovebird. I want to be identified that way with Jesus. Me and Jesus sat upon a power line together of eternity. We kind of take our necks and hug around one another. We coo. That's what Brother Bram saw. Remember Brother Charlie Cox's 1956? He saw them turtle doves sitting up on the power lines, and he said, they're just sitting there, just cooing one. Remember the prophet talking about God making a way in Brooklyn, 1956? He said, God is a lover. Some of you don't know Him that way. I feel sorry for you. You know Him as mean, vengeful, hateful, out to get you, out to destroy you. Oh, you need to know Him different. He said, God is a lover. And He's looking for hearts this morning. He's hungering, thirsting. You imagine God hungering, thirsting, trying to find some of your cold, starchy hearts that it can make love to. Oh, praise God. Come into my garden. Eat your pleasant fruits. Which I've been so faithful to God. I've been so true. Shut up. Shut up. He don't want that from you. He wants the fruits of his own productivity. Your ability to forgive, that's God given. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to eat. Your patience, your long suffering, your forbearance, all of those things that are God given. Oh, you say, I ain't got nothing to give him. You have, if you're a miracle. Give it to him. Let him come. Then let him come back after leaving his union with you and say, rejoice, my friends. Rejoice. She was a virgin. Here's the tokens of her virginity.
Amen. Glory.
The devil said he'd never do it, but he's got the token on display. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You were accused by the accuser, but you never did it in the first place. This is the part that gets married to Christ the Word. The virgin born part. Your soul. The virgin born part. That's why he does it. Both parts coming from him. The deposit of himself. The quickening from himself. That's your virgin birth. That marries the virgin born Son of God. Not your old first, you was married to the devil and then God sent you through a washing machine and put a bunch of Tide on you and a bunch of Clorox bleach and tried to wash you up. God ain't going to marry something that's married to the devil. That virgin part that was born in you never was married to the devil. That's the part that never did sin in the first place. Glory to God. That's what marries the virgin born Son of God. And this is the miraculous part. You're pregnant, but you're still a virgin. Mary was. Lord have mercy. Sit down, part two. Mary was with child and a virgin. You are with child by Christ Jesus the Word. And yet you're a virgin at the same time. Why, no man has known you. Only God can do it that way, children. Oh, God. No wonder Brother Branham could say she's already pregnant. The womb is already sealed up. And yet say you're a virgin at the same time. Well, you're a pregnant virgin. Bless you, Mary. You are highly favored in his eyes. Hail Mary. You are highly favored in his eyes. That holy thing which shall be conceived in you shall be called the Son of Man. How can this thing be? Saying, I've not known a man. The Holy Ghost has overshadowed you. Wes, Daryl. That thing which shall be conceived in you is the new creation. Be it unto me according to thy word. Lord Jesus, I hope they don't think I'm crazy. I wish I could make it real like I see it, Lord. How can it be? Here we are, Lord. As your prophet said last night,
He changed from Luther to Wesley to Pentecost, down on down to seed time. And the next change will be the body change. It was after this message came to Mary that she started having a body change. For that child in her started changing the shape of her body and her appetite. Hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus, we worship you today. Lord, for many of us, we've never made you a permanent bedroom in our basement. We've never done that. But Satan trips us up every now and then, and we do it on occasion. Forgive us even for the occasional time that we do it. Lord, if there's any here today or that's streaming this service, I've really displaced you from their lives. You're not fourth, you're not fifth, you're not even loud on the first floor anymore. You're down in the basement. May they hear your voice through this Kentucky preacher today. May they not hear me beckoning, but may they hear the voice of Jesus as he knocks on the door. May they go to the basement door, and as they open the door, may they be greeted by that musty smell. They say, "Jesus, please come up. I'm so sorry." He humbly, gently turns the corner on the landing, and he walks up the steps. As he comes up, they look at him in the face, and he has this look about him. Praise God. As he comes up closer, they can still smell that musty smell that they put on him. Forgive us for the musty smells of our failures and faults that we've put upon your name, claiming to be Christians and yet done things or said things that was unbecoming to a Christian. And we've put our old smutty smell on you. Forgive us, Lord. Lord Jesus, may they take you over and sit you down on the couch. May they grab a pan of water. Excuse me. May they grab a pan of water, get down on their knees and start washing your feet. May they take a washcloth or a towel, go rubbing through your hair and washing that smell off of you. Let them go to anointing you with the fragrance that will take that away. Oh, Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Maybe some haven't put you in the basement, but they put you back in the bedroom. They put you somewhere out of sight. May you find your place, Lord. Oh, grant it, I pray, Father. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to realize what it means to you, for us just to be able to give you time, just to be together. Praise God. Almighty One, Great Eternal One, we love you today, Jesus. And we just like to rededicate your garden heart back to the King. I'll raise my hands with you. Hallelujah. Any part that I've kept back, any part, Lord, that I've selfishly withdrawn from you, I rededicate, I reconsecrate into your presence. Every flower, every tree, every herb, every speck of ground, I'm yours. Prune me when necessary. Chop the weeds out of my life. Get rough with me if you need to. If I get cold and complacent, and you have to take a mattock and really dig around on me pretty good and stir me up, do it, Lord. Every inch of ground in my heart, as it were, belongs to you. It is yours, Lord. It was rotten and vile. Couldn't grow anything but sin before you found me. But you decontaminated it. Took the hatred out. Praise God. And now you've made my heart a fertile valley. by which the love of God can place seeds and cause them to grow. Cry out, Lord Jesus. May you grant that to every heart here today, Lord. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I hear that you want to spend time with me, the more it makes me want to spend time with you. Oh, hallelujah. Can we just worship him now just a little bit? We'll let you go here momentarily. We've got a brother that's wanting to be baptized today. The Spirit of God really dealing with his heart. Maybe him and Brother Wes can come and prepare for that while we're just singing and just worshiping the Lord together a little bit. Harry, would you lead us in that song? Let Jesus say to you, I have come into my garden. I've tasted my pleasant fruits, my myrrh, my frankincense, my spices. Amen. Let's worship him now.
The more I seek you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
The more I find you.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
The more I find you.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
The more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your
heaven, supper
lay
with Jesus.
Back against you, feel your heart beat.
Hallelujah.
This love is so deep. It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find. The more I find you, the more I love you. I want to sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you, feel your heart beat. This love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find. The more I find you, the more I find I love you. The more I seek you, the more I love you.
Supper with Jesus.
Oh, the more I find in you. Notice the equation. And the more I find you, then what does that do? The more I love you. Amen. I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand.
Against you.
Amen.
In your heart, this love is so deep, it's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace, it's overwhelming.
God bless you, saints. I'd like to introduce you to Brother David Richard. He's been on a long spiritual journey. The Lord's brought him little by little. He came here and he was listening to Brother Donnie preach, and he said, you know, there's something about the truth. He said, when you hear it, you know it.
Amen.
That really impressed me, because I know what that means. He's got the ears to hear. You know, the Lord's blessed him with that, giving him revelation. He said to me back there something that really touched my heart as well. He said that he didn't want to, you know, just be part of some religion or follow something. He wanted to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And little by little, as he spoke, I come to recognize him as a brother and just see so many similarities. And, you know, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? And I'm telling you right now, the experience our brothers had up until this point has led me to believe by his testimony that we are brothers. And I'd like you all to join with me and pray as I lay hands on him now and pray for him to receive the promise of God's Word. Let's bow our heads. Father, you see my precious brother David. You see the journey you brought him on to come from where you first started dealing with him, Lord, back in eternity. So now, Lord, as you reveal that plan to him and to us, Lord, together as a body. Lord, right now we're just simply holding up the promise of your Word that can never be broken, can never be bent, can never be changed, that'll stand when heaven and earth pass away. You have promised if we come and are baptized in your name, and believe, Lord, and repent, that you will give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now, Lord, we're believing together as we lay hands on him and pray together as one body, that you give him that promise now, Lord, and that you continue with him to grow him, Lord, in your Word until he can be sealed into the kingdom. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing. Brother David, based upon your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't it be good to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. I'm going to have Brother Darrell come dismiss us in prayer on the rare occasion he gets to be with us on the weekend. We're certainly happy to have our brother with us. I wanted to share this with you from Brother Keith Phillips. He's having a port put in on Wednesday morning for chemo treatments for his condition in his body, which will begin Monday the 28th. And he says, maybe. Maybe they might begin. Also, Brother Warren Arndt has had some difficulties that he's been dealing with, and I know that they would certainly appreciate our prayers that God would just be with them, Brother Warren and the family. God will help them. The Lord knows all about it, and I'll find a little bit more about it. I'll share with you what physically that he's dealing with, but the Lord knows and he's mindful. We want to do as we heard here Wednesday night. We want to take our rod, the name of Jesus, and hold over sickness, despair, sorrow, whatever it is, and know it's already been judged. God has already judged these diseases unfit for his children. Amen. God bless you, saints. Darrell, would you come and let him pray over these and dismiss us.
several years ago when my youngest daughter, Allison, was real small, and I drove most of the night to come in from a meeting, and it was closer to daylight than it was bedtime, so I didn't go to bed. I just sat down and waited for my family to get up, and Allison got up for school that morning. I was just sitting down in the living room thinking about the meetings, and she came down into the kitchen, and she looked over and saw me, but it didn't register that I was sitting there, and then all of a sudden it did, and she looked back, and she yelled, "Daddy." She ran and jumped up in my lap. And I said, "I love you." She said, "I love you too, Daddy." I said, "Did you miss me?" She said, "Mm-hmm." I said, "Was you good?" She said, "Mm-hmm." I thought, I'll ask Mama. And then she just laid her head on my shoulder. And there was nothing left to say, because in that moment of time, there was fellowship. And she raised up and she said, "Daddy, I can hear your heartbeat." Said it's going thump, 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 thump. And every time I hear this song, I think about that moment of time. Just to be able to lay our head upon the bosom of our Lord. In that moment of fellowship, when all diseases and all sickness and all failures just fade away. And it's just Him, our healer, our friend, our bridegroom, our lover. And the aroma of our garden in His nostrils. Because He redeemed us for that one thing. Our fellowship. What a privilege it is to lay our head against the bosom of our Lord, of our lover, and to know that no matter how big our problems are, He's bigger. Heavenly Father, I can hear your heartbeat. It's beating out Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, this wonderful presence we felt here among us today. We don't want you in the basement, Lord. Take every room, every chamber, every closet, every crevice of our lives, Lord. Fill us so full, Lord, that you overflow, that our neighbors, those down the street, can see you. The spices of your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord. In a time of such hate, Lord, that the love of God and the world will know that we are Christians by our love. Lord, we so count it such an honor to be gathered here today. Knowing, Lord, that we will spend eternity with you and with our brothers and sisters who are gathered here, Lord. Bless each one of us today, Lord, as we make our way to our homes. Lord, give us traveling grace. Lord, may we feed upon the things that we've heard. May we hang out with you this week, Lord. May the people that we associate with, may they know, Lord, who it is we're fellowshipping with. Because they see you in us, Lord. Lord, I want to sit at your feet. I want to drink from your cup. I want to lay my head against your chest. I want to feel your heartbeat, Lord. I want to feel your breath as you breathe upon me, Lord. Father, you see the needs of our brothers and our sisters here, Lord. But you're a miracle working God. Lord, we just commit every one of them into your hands, Lord, knowing you've got it all in control, Lord. You know their name before there was even a star. You knew all about us, the color of our eyes. Lord, we love you today. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and hear, Lord. Thank you for our natural ears, our spiritual ears. Thank you for our ability, Lord, to be able to consume the things that we've heard today. And Lord, may they not return back into you void, but may they accomplish, dear God, that which you sent it to do. And Lord, bless our precious brother Donnie, Lord. Renew his strength, God. Inspire him, Lord, for Wednesday night, God. The days ahead, Lord, may we prepare ourselves for the crossing. For we humbly ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed. The fear of the Lord, has it not been good to be in the garden of the Lord? Amen. Let's just sing it again, Brother Harry, as we go. May the Lord bless you. My heart feels so warm right now. Amen. Isn't it wonderful, friends, to know him? Not to be able to quote it, not to be able to read it, but to know him. He's a person. To know him, to fellowship with him. What a privilege. May the Lord bless you. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you.